Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It's absolutely unfair that taxpayer dollars are going to prop up a company that made these terrible bets.
It does appear to me we're rewarding incompetence. Forget about the legal matter here for a second. These bonuses are going to people who screwed this thing up enormously, who made terrible decisions.
These executive bonuses are beyond even outrageous.
How do they justify this outrage to the taxpayers who are keeping the company afloat?
Bottom line, AIG, here we go again. How could this happen yet again?
Sock puppet from Murdoch. What's he doing in the thing? Sock puppet, I don't think. Another Blue Monday. Play it out.
It is the Savage Nation. It's Blue Monday. This is Blue Monday. What else? March 16, 2009. Well, I'll start with my horoscope, Aries. You may detect signs that you're falling behind in the popularity stakes, but chances are you've got it wrong. On the contrary, in most people's eyes, you have never been so well-liked or admired. With Venus in your sign, you can get away with anything, almost. I have no idea what it means. I read it every day. I like the horoscope, but sometimes they're pretty accurate. I got to tell you, the other day I was walking around and I stopped it was Saturday. I didn't tell you about it. There was a St. Paddy's Day parade down where I am, and it was nice to see in the middle of the heat. You could die. I don't understand the relationship, but anyway, a lot of drunk people. I don't drink during the day. I think three times in my life I drank during the day. Once was at a funeral or a wake, but I don't generally drink during the day. It's amazing. There was a lot of people drinking during the day. I don't know what it has to do with chasing away the snakes, but they chased away the snakes. And I was wandering around in the crowd, and there was a woman, like, reading cards, $5 for 5 minutes. Not cards. She was reading from, like, a book with the sun rising and the quarter of the shmata that comes underneath your back pocket with the lint. And she was amazing. I don't know how she did it, but this one turned out an MSW in social work. You know, she went to an actual university and couldn't maintain her career as a psychologist, so she reverted, but she had, you know, there's certain fortune tellers who have eyes. You could tell right off the bat. They're either schizophrenic or they can read the future or both. But I have found there are people who actually can do this. The thing she said about me and relationships, I was amazed by it. Now, I know many of you aren't, because the Bible says don't believe in diviners. You're supposed to stone them to death. But since half the other people were stoned anyway on God knows what they were, weed and beer and this and that, why stone her to death when the whole crowd was stoned? I don't understand it. Play Blue Monday. We'll start again. I'm off on the wrong.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come
I love the outrage from Barney Frank. Barney, you get out. We're rewarding incompetence. He's a schmuck. He's a schmuck, Barney Frank. He's a schmuck, Barney Frank. Who himself is incompetent. He's a Barney Frank who himself busted out the country when he was forcing banks to give loans to schmucks who never should have gotten a loan. He's a schmuck who couldn't get a job at McDonald's if he wasn't in the government. He's talking about not giving bonuses to AIG. Of course everyone's against giving out bonuses to these criminals who should be in orange jumpsuits cleaning toilets in Guantanamo for the terrorists after a Ramadan meal. Are you kidding me? We all agree with that, Barney. Now he's suddenly grandstanding. After forcing banks for years at the threat of government suits to give loans to incompetent, illogical, illegal aliens and other undesirables who couldn't qualify for a mortgage, now all of a sudden he's worried about, I'm going to bust the gut if I care. Speaking of that, on michaelsavage.com, there's some headlines you got to see. I'll go to regular programming. I see already I'm talking to a dud audience. I can tell already the lights didn't go on because they're not used to it. What you want to hear is Obama's a socialist. The country's about to come to an end. Even though that's true, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm sick of it. So instead, I'm going to give you the stories that have nothing to do with Obama. And then you could decide who to blame. Eventually, you'll have to blame yourself because the stories I'm about to read are true. The only things that have been changed are the nobody. Nothing's been. The stories I am about to read to you are true. The names have not been changed to protect the guilty. Number one, HIV/AIDS rate in D.C. is higher than West Africa. Boom. Isn't it wonderful that we have now become lower than a third world nation with regard to certain illnesses? Play Dragnet music. What are we disconnecting? I don't see one light going on. Where is everybody today?
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed.
All right, well, they got it. They're not here today. Maybe the lines are disconnected. Am I connected today or not? Well, I know I'm joking. It's a shtick. You don't have to take me seriously. If the audience doesn't, why should you? I got stories that are so horrible that it could give you... If you're Italian, you'd call it agita you're about to get. If you're Jewish, you'd call it suris. If you're a wasp, you don't even understand what I'm saying to you because it's nothing in the language you understand because it's nothing in the regular English language. If you are an illegal alien, you don't know what I'm talking about because you're illiterate in all languages. The only thing you know is me illegal, you me immigrant, I sue ACLU. Story number one, HIV/AIDS rate in D.C. higher than West Africa. You hear? Higher than West Africa in our own, and they're about to get the vote over there. Isn't that wonderful to give them the vote? I love it. Give the people in District of Columbia now a vote on top of it. They're going to get a couple of congressmen. This is unbelievable. California due to release convicted domestic terrorist Sarah Jane Olson, a good friend of Bill Ayers, no doubt, and a good friend of Obama's minions. She's about to be released. She only tried to blow police up with pipe bombs. She's a nice old granny type. That's all. Illegal alien leeches complain about health care cuts. You hear this story? Now, here's a topper. If you think I'm just on one side of the aisle, you're wrong. Long Island cops in $55 million gold rush. When I saw this at 5 in the morning today in the New York Post, I got mad. Like a stampeding herd, more than 200 Nassau County cops are galloping to retire by midsummer to collect bloated severance packages of up to $500,000. You hear this? You read this story, you could die from it. Buyers sue Trump over failed Mexico condo project. Donald Trump was sued by buyers who lost millions of dollars in deposits on a failed hotel condo in the Mexican border city of Tijuana. Hey, I don't blame them for failing over there. You need a paramilitary organization. What do you mean, building a condo? What, are you kidding me? No wonder Donald Trump was sued Friday by buyers who lost millions of dollars in deposits on a failed hotel condo in the Mexican border city of Tijuana. The 69 buyers purchased 71 units in Trump Ocean Resort Baja and paid deposits totaling between $18 and $20 million. You know what's there now? A hole in the ground and a sales office. Buyers were told last month that the luxury oceanfront project was being scrapped and there was no money left to refund the deposits. Where'd the money go? They collected $32 million in buyer deposits, and then they were told that the project had only $556,000 left after the money. So the 197-page complaint filed in Los Angeles Superior Court will be used as toilet paper by the judge. The lawsuit accuses the New York real estate developer, toupee wearer, and all-around BS artist, and reality television star of fraud, negligence, unjust enrichment, and violating federal disclosure laws. You know what their chance of collecting is? The same chance we have of collecting from AIG, Bank of America, and Countrywide Loan. Play Blue Monday, that's all. Give me the Blue Monday again. Don't play Blue Monday. Knock it off. I'm sick of it already. You know, there's a good part to the story of buyers sue Trump over failed Mexico condo project. You know what's good about it? Because this guy is still going around the country giving seminars on how to make a killing in business. And you bring your whole company and you pay a lot of money and he gives seminars on how to... Who better to give a seminar on how to make money than a guy who makes money and then doesn't deliver on the projects? I mean, this guy knows how to make money. You promise a condo in Tijuana, you collect $20 million according to the lawsuit. Then you don't give any of it back and you say it's all gone and you go out and give a lecture the next day on how to make money. Long Island cops, see, there's nothing about Obama here. I'm trying to, like, make you understand the world is bigger than Obama. One day America shall forget him as the most unwanted, incompetent president in American history who probably isn't even an American citizen. But today we'll make believe we don't have to worry about. So there's 200 Nassau County cops are going to retire by midsummer to collect severance packages, blah, blah, before a new law caps their payout. Now listen to this. The county's going to have to pay about $55 million, and they're going to have to borrow the money to pay off these greedy cops through an expensive bond issue. Everyone is going to flock out the door, said Tom Stokes, the Nassau County deputy who is struggling on playing on. Now, here it comes. For decades, retiring officers could cash in, now listen to this, unused sick days, holidays, comp time, and even one day for every pint of blood they donated for a severance or termination package that for longtime veteran cops could easily top $500,000. Now, on top of that, they get about $100,000 a year to enjoy their golden years in Boca Raton or in Fort Lauderdale on the nude beach. So a lot of them get $500,000, and then you get about $105,000, $110,000, $115,000, $135,000. In 2007, three retired chiefs collected payouts that approached $700,000. Former Captain William Gutterslow took home $696,000 in a bulk payment, I guess for a lot of blood, on top of his $135,000 a year pension. Now you know why people become cops. I'll be right back. Savage.
She's a day. He's a dead, he's a dead, he's a dead,
he's
a dead. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Who is this guy? I forgot his name.
Hide the deadly.
Oh, another leftist, another raging left wing maniac. Why is it everyone who I was talented as a kid turns out to be a lunatic, a political lunatic? Well, anyone who sings about bananas, you know, okay. Is my
6 foot, 7 foot.
I never understood this. I always thought there was like a dirty connotation to it. It was like a subtext of some kind of. It was slow for another era. Today he couldn't make a nickel. You hear? With a cadence like this? I could just see the record producer throw him out of the office. Who is that guy? Get him out of here. Play it louder. I can't hear it at all. I'm like going deaf.
Mr. Taliban,
felt like it was the last moments of my life. And I couldn't hear.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Will I come and me one?
There's no political comment.
Day-o.
Other than he's a left-wing lunatic. Day-o. Him and Danny Glover. And Sean Penn.
Will I come and me one?
They got good locks down here. I tell you, that's the only thing I like in South Florida. They know how to cut a Nova. You know that you can't get good Nova Scotia sandwich. I'm going to tell you something funny about food. I am a food expert. Let's say everyone is a food expert for what they like. That is true. But I am actually a real expert. I detest fancy restaurants because the food is phony. I only eat in cheap restaurants because there the food is generally, it has to be better because the people don't have money. And they know the difference and they're going to walk out unless the food is good. But anyway, to make a long story short, I have lived in Northern California forever. Now, I'm not one of these bagel and lox guys. I don't eat cream cheese. But I do like smoked salmon. Now, you would think that in Northern California, where you have such snobs about food and salmon, they're all concerned about the salmon and it's not growing and you can't fish. You can't get smoked salmon that doesn't taste disgusting in San Francisco. It tastes so smoked you can't eat it. Everything is overdone. They smoke it to the point where I go in delis there. Fine, give me some salmon, but I don't want a smoky flavor. They look at you like you committed a crime. Well, isn't that the object? A bunch of schmucks came out there from Oklahoma, like, and then they invented the no food, you know, because minimalist and bad wine already, they're experts. You come to Southern Florida, where the people look like they were on the moon for the last several generations. They're all very short and squat with, like, faces that are, like, blown up from too much sun. I don't know what it is, seltzer, salt, genetics. They're generally nice people. They're benign. They're the type that Madoff took advantage of. They think they know everything, and they're basically sheep. They're like a herd mentality. But one thing they know is lox. I don't know how they know it, but that they know. Politics, they know nothing. They don't know who to vote for. They think Sean Penn is a wonderful guy, even though he hates Jews in Israel. They're that kind of people. But they know lox. I go in a deli and I ordered a half a pound of Novalox, which is smoked salmon, of course, for those of you who are not from areas where it's called lox. You think it's liquid oxygen for setting off a rocket, but no. Smoked salmon and thin slice. Now, you try to get it thin sliced in San Francisco, they'll throw you out. They don't know what you're talking about. And I'll tell you another giveaway. The way they present it here, it's flat. They roll it and you unroll it, it comes out perfect. In San Francisco, they'll take a luncheon meat. If you say to them, sliced turkey, give me a pound of sliced turkey, they crush it up and they roll it and throw it in a bag. It looks like cat turd by the time you get it home. And they think they're experts on everything. You hear this? No wonder the HIV rate is high in Washington, D.C. Now you say, what does the quality of lox in southern Florida have to do with the HIV rate in Washington? Everything and nothing. Because these people know nothing about anything except lox. They'll keep electing officials who keep letting people into the country with diseases like AIDS. You understand that? And they'll keep going to movies and supporting people who are basically committing suicide for the country and for them. But they know lox. The important thing is that they're nice people. They're basically benign. I have Teddy with me. So I was walking around with it. Do you want to hear any of this? Or you want me to get back to AIG and this? Sanctuary, cops, ACORN. I don't care about ACORN. Kerry, prosecute, I don't care. I think I'm not doing politics for a while. I'm on strike. I told you I think I'm on strike because you've heard it all. By the time this time of the day rolls around, you have heard everything you need to know about the world and more. And the only reason you're listening to me is because I've done it differently, better, stronger, angrier, more intelligent, more intellectual, a higher IQ. But there's only so much you want to hear about him being a socialist, a Marxist, a communist. Even though it's all true, there's no point anymore. It's done. It's a done deal. The Italians have had a communist party for 75 years. We're the only country that pretends communist? Me? No. Obama, socialist? No. What? Incredible. We don't have a socialist communist party. You got a socialist / communist party running the country right now. You're acting shocked. You don't know what's going on. In Italy, they've had one for years. They have the far left parties in England, have them in France, they have them in Germany, but never heard of them here. Oh, they're Democrats. The lox people don't know that they're communist socialists. If they knew they were communist socialists, they would jump off a bridge because they take away their condominiums from them and force them to put illegal aliens in their bathtub. But they know lox. The important thing is they know how to cut a Nova.
Savage.
No, I'm telling you, I'll mix a little politics in just to keep you listening, but I think I'm going to get out of it for a while. So when we took off, when I broke away on the Savage Nation, I was referencing the lox people in southern Florida, how they know from nothing except they're good at lox. Now, by the way, to the non-Hebrew listener, we are not referencing rocketry. We are referencing sliced smoked salmon, incidentally. You look it up in the dictionary, the big dictionary. Lox, locksmith, lockstep. See, I can do political right now, go lockstep. But if you actually look up the word lox, it's from the Middle High German, M-H-G, Middle High German Laz, which means salmon, L-A-H-S, comes from the Middle High German. So don't think it's like a Yiddish word. It was originally a Middle High German word. You want lox, then it became lox. If you went in a deli down in southern Florida and you said to anyone there, like the deli, arrogant men, I almost got into a fight with one of them. I don't want to even talk about it. The nastiest individuals in the world are in the appetizing business. I don't understand why they hate their own customer. I guess they all think they should have been Yasha Heifetz. But instead of fiddling on a violin, you're like Fiddler on the Roof, he wound up fiddling with lox or whatever he's fiddling with in the back room. They're all mad. They're always angry at you. They got the hands with a lot of hair on them, on the back of their hand, like loads of hair. They look tough, but they'd fold like a lox. Anyhow, if you said to them, the lox people, if you said to them the word lox comes from the Middle High German laws, they would probably call security. I could just imagine. What are you, a skinhead? No one knows the origin of anything. Could you play Barney Frank ripping AIG bonuses in clip 3? I need some comic relief right now. Let me hear Barney Frank.
You heard what was just said about Secretary Geithner being outraged by these bonuses. He has worked with Mr. Liddy to try to reduce them. Has he done enough, do you think?
I'm going to check. I believe, I know he is trying very hard. People should know this one did not come out of the Treasury initially. This was a Federal Reserve decision. This this decision to give the billions, $80 billion.
Hold it. Do you know who was at the Federal Reserve when that decision was made? None other than Geithner when he was in the Federal Reserve. What a lying sack of you-know-what. This Bonnie Frank, if it was up to me, being an orange jumpsuit. Here's a guy who, when he was in charge of, he made Fannie and Freddie. It's unbelievable to me, these people. It wasn't really in Treasury. It was came out of the, I'm Bonnie Frank, came out of the Federal Reserve. And who was in charge of the Federal Reserve? None other than Timothy Geithner when he was at the Federal Reserve. Let me hear clip four.
And people may have noticed, we've now got complaints from some banks that did get some of the subsequent money we voted, that our conditions were too tough and they're going to quit.
Get him off my show. If this guy wasn't in government, he couldn't get a job in a deli in South Florida sweeping the floors, let alone wrapping locks. WOR in New York. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call.
Are you enjoying the show thus far?
I'm really enjoying it today. I like when you talk about politics, but every once in a while you switch it up and it seems like perfect.
Yeah, I had enough of politics today. So what are you calling about?
I want you to talk about some wines without necessarily promoting any, you know, vineyard or anything like that. Just tell us some varietals that you like and things like that.
Now, let me start with my favorite red wine, which I only drink in the winter when it's cold. I can't drink in. My favorite is an Italian wine called Gaia, G-A-J-A.
Gaia,
okay. No, it's Gaia. Some call it Gaja, but I was told it's Gaia. But we don't have to quibble over the name. It's extremely expensive. It is amazing. I like it very tart, very dry, very sandy. That's what it's like.
Definitely.
I think the Gaia Sori Lorenzo was my favorite wine last December around Christmas time, okay?
Okay.
Now, you talk about California wine. I don't want to alienate my listeners, and because many of them are in the wine business, there are some good ones. I have found that the California wines, when I first moved here in the early 70s, were much different than they are. They have become more and more candy-like, I'm sorry to tell you. The wines have become sweeter. They have catered to a chick drinker. And that is why the Chardonnay is the most popular wine in California, because women who don't know the first thing about wine will order Chardonnay, okay? It's like sugar water. So that leaves me, you know, leaves me limp. So I don't have, you know, much to say about right now, because there are some good ones. You know, I'm not going to mention the ones I don't like. I'll mention the ones I like. Gaia is my favorite red, but there's some French reds that'll blow your socks off. In terms of white wine for me, I'm not drinking this time of year. I don't really drink. I drink only beer and vodka. After a show, I'll have maybe like, I've been traveling right now. So you got to understand something funny. I mean, I'll include you and a million other people. My time zone on the West Coast is 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. where you're in New York, right? So now I'm running 6 to 9 p.m. I'm on your time frame, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's a whole different experience. I kind of love it. I'm in real time now in terms of my East Coast audience, which is amazing. So when I get off the air, it's like 9 o'clock. What am I going to do at 9 o'clock? I mean, I can't eat the minute I'm off the air. My adrenaline's through the ceiling. Luckily, I found restaurants that open until 10, 11. I'll knock down a couple of vodkas on ice with a little juice. It relaxes me. I'll smell the air, you know, the salt air. And I'll go to dinner and I'll have a beer. I can't drink wine with dinner after a show at this time. I just can't do it. What do you like?
Well, I've been drinking a lot of Italian reds lately. Primitivo, like you said, you could taste the brand.
Well, you try that GAJA, you're not going to believe it, but you can't get it. And I'm talking about a lot of money. I was lucky enough to visit a wealthy man's house. You're talking $400 a bottle, and I'm not boasting. I drank it because he poured it. I couldn't believe how good it was. That's all. There's an old story that goes like this. When this Italian man was poor, his father made the wine in the basement. The girls crushed the grapes. They made the wine in the basement. It was basic red wine. He loved it. Then as he got more money, he started to get a better taste in wine, and he developed a taste for $300, $400, $500 a bottle. There was no limit to what he could afford, and he bought them all. When he got to be over 70 and he started to recognize that it was all an illusion, and it was all BS anyway, and everyone was full of you-know-what, he went back to drinking the wine that his grandmother made, and he liked it real good. Sacramento Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Jim, hey, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going, Michael? I'm just calling to say that you're wrong today when you're saying that we've already heard everything we need to know about politics by the time you get on the radio. Every day, the rest of these guys talk about a bunch of stuff that really doesn't matter, and you're the only one that, you know, covers any actually.
Well, look, they cover it their way. There's room for everybody. I cover it my way. At the end of the day, I got to do it in a different way. And I mean, I can do it so hard that you wind up with a pounding heart, and you don't know what to do at night. No aspirin is going to help you. And usually I do it. But I don't want to do it today. I just don't want to do it today. I'm not in the mood to eat my heart out over Obama and the fact that we do have a socialist slash communist-like government, which is what we have. They would understand this if they were from Germany or France or any of the other European countries who have had communist-socialist parties. We have a communist-socialist party. That part of the Democrat Party has taken over the country. It's that simple. Thank you for the call. I'm already getting a migraine, and I thought I wouldn't. I thought I could avoid it if I didn't, you know. 1-800-449-8255. I don't know what time it is. Am I near a break? Thank God, no. I can talk another minute. Chicago, Lorna, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, I got to tell you, I love you. I can relate to you. I was on last week about the embryonic stem cell research, but I don't want to talk about
that. Wait a minute, you were the young lady who called about that?
Yeah, I was the one with the quadriplegic son.
Oh, my God, how sad. So what are you calling about today? Something happy?
I want to talk like you want to talk today about something fun and about your book, actually. One day this past winter when I was under a lot of stress, I was standing in the kitchen and you had this guy on and he's talked about your book. And all of a sudden you started talking about end of the day glass. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. End of the day glass? Nobody knows what end of the day glass is.
How do you know what it is?
Well, because my father was an antique dealer like yours.
Oh, my God. No, my father's knowledge was pretty extensive for a man who never went beyond high school. Remember, he was a poor immigrant, but he made himself learn while he was in the business. He didn't just sit there. And when he explained to me that, I said, Dad, what's this beautiful multicolored glass? Because it was all mixed up, you know, there was no real pattern. He said, that's end-of-day glass. I said, what is it? He said, the glaziers at the end of the day take all of the glass that they didn't make into anything, and they melt it down and make it into a vase that's multicolored. I said, oh, that's beautiful. I always liked end-of-day glass.
Well, the thing is that my father raised 12 of us, six boys, six girls, my mother and father, and they had an antique shop in Galena, Illinois, which is in the northern part. It's the home of Ulysses S. Grant.
Isn't that also where Al Capone was headquartered?
Well, that was in Chicago.
No, but he came up there, didn't he? The whiskey came through your town?
Yeah. But
see, I know my history. I watched Elliot Ness and the Untouchables.
But it was more...
Hey, did you read Psychological Nudity? Did you find the end of the day glass story in there?
I loved it, but I loved the whole book because I could...
Well, kids should be read to. This is like a nursery book for children. It's an America that doesn't exist anymore.
Dead man's pants. I mean... Come on, how many times did I have to wear somebody else's clothes?
You did? How many people understand that? I actually did wear the dead man's pants.
And I mean, this
No one believes it. It's actually true. When he came home with the worsted trousers, I knew I was a goner. What kid, what teenager, what young teenager? I think it warped me, turned me into a talk radio host years later. Most normal kids, their parents bought them clothing in a department store. But we were a little poorer than the people around us, and he had this antique store that was part secondhand. So when someone died, he bought the quote on state, including the pants and the belts and the underwear. If there was a little gold, they'd buy that. But he wouldn't throw the clothing out because it would kill him, the idea of throwing out good fabric. So who would get it? He'd come home with it. And when he unrolled those pants, as I describe in my book, my heart dropped because I know it was coming. He'd make me touch the fabric, look at this hot chapter and marks fabric. I said, oh, my God. Okay, I know it's coming. The next day, they'd come back cut down for me, not cut to fit me. They'd cut them off at the leg like Abbott and Costello pants.
Right.
No, horrible, horrible. I think it made me who I am today, for better or
for
worse. Thanks for the call. I have a migraine already from that story. I don't like to remember the past. I really don't want to remember it. Who wants to live in the past? You know, don't look back or you turn to a pillar of salt. And the last thing I want to do is... With all the lox I've been eating, that's all I need now is to turn into a pillar of salt because I'll become a pillar of lox. I'll be right back.
Savage. Daddy's home. Daddy's home to stay.
It may be Blue Monday to you, but to me, forget about it. I'm enjoying myself. It's a little slow. This sounds like the guys were on Blue. Do we have something faster for a Monday? I mean, I don't need a depressing rock and roll song. If you play at the hop, I'm quitting. I'm looking over this stuff. This is like...
So you met someone who set you back on your heels.
No, kill it. I don't like this either. Because he died of heroin. I don't like the thinking of... 13, he broke through and then dead at 19, 20. The dog is loving going to department stores with me. Today I had an incident. I went to Macy's. They let him in. That was nice. A lot of nice people saying, what kind of dog is that? Teddy's on the book, you know. What kind of dog is that? I say he's a poodle. Oh, really? How come he doesn't look like a poodle? I said, this is what a dog looks like. By nature made the dog look like a bear, not like a clipped frog, you know, with pom-poms on it. It's an embarrassment what the French did to their dogs. He's a scampy kind of guy, you know. Doing well, then I went into the other side of the mall near Nordstrom. I went to the food court. I knew it was coming. A rent-a-cop came over. And he said, I'm sorry, I have to hold the dog, but you can't walk the dog. I said, why? That's a new one. Yes, you may hold the dog, but you can't walk the dog. All right. I didn't argue. That's all. I took him right out. I said, okay, I'll take him out. It's weird how some stores let you have a dog in them. Some don't let you have a dog in them. I don't blame them. You figure... A lot of people are not like me. They're very rude. They're careless. They let their dogs, you know, lift their leg on human beings, let alone on the mannequins. What does a dog know? It's the person who should control it. So the stores don't know what to do. On the other hand, they know a lot of neurotic women have dogs. They won't shop if they have to leave at home because the husband hasn't touched them in 32 years. The only thing they have is that furry thing on the arm. So if they leave them. But then on the other hand, the shoplifting will go down. So they don't know what to do. They figure 8% loss to shoplifting from the women. But on the other hand, the business is so bad, they'll take just for the turnover and the cash flow. I spoke to the security guard when I went shopping, I think Saturday. He told me most of the shoplifting is done by middle-aged women who are bored. They have nothing to do. I said, what? Yeah. He said, most of them are not. I said, give me some of the excuses. He says to me, a lot of excuses are, my dog just died. I said, come on, you're making it up. No, he said, my dog just died, boo-hoo. I just buried my husband, boo-hoo. I said, what do you do? He said, we prosecute them all. I said, all? He said, well, there's a few we don't do. I'm not going to tell you who, because then you'll act it out if you're a shoplifter. And they let a few go, the best stories, you know, like 96 years old, and they survived a hurricane and a tornado, and they're dying, and they needed the socks. That's one. Because they know no judge is going to put that person away, I guess. But no, the worst, he told me, of the shoplifters were women who, when you catch them, they get arrogant and hostile and defensive, and they start saying, what I spend here, it don't matter what I took today. You owe it to me. I said, come on, you're making that up. No, he said, no, that's what they do. They make this stuff. They get the hostile act. In other words, they're women born to work for Bonnie Frank. That when they're frankly caught being the big grifters they are, they get aggressive and say the Republicans did it. See, I would work it in. Las Vegas, Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Hey, Doc. Dr. Savage.
No, I'm Dr. Descent. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Dr. Descent. Well, I am an infidel.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not sure if I'm drinking the right kind of wine.
What are you drinking?
I drink really cheap Burgundy wine, a couple of gallons a weekend.
Well, let me ask you something. How old are you?
52.
And what's your health condition?
Well, the doctor, my regular doctor, says I'm great.
So there's your answer.
Right on.
And I'll give you another answer to go with it. Listen to your body. Don't listen to your doctor. You'll probably bury him. You know, Mark Twain had the best line of all. He said he gets all of his exercise going to the funerals of his more athletic friends. I like that one. When I become a couch potato, which is very... I mean, I bicycle. I do bicycle daily. I have for years. And a little this, a little that, but I don't overdo it. I love when people tell me, do this, do that. You know, you'll lose weight. I say, you know what, get back to me when you're my age and let me know if you're in my shape. A lot of these guys with what do you call them, those abs? What do you call them? Board? What kind of board is that? washboard abs, they're dead by 39. A lot of them, they do. They burn out. I don't know what it is. They overdo it. You're not supposed to be that thin. I mean, if you're a beekeeper in Somalia, you should look like that because you're starving to death and you're living basically on honey and bee droppings. You're not supposed to look like that if you live in America. Who says that's the norm for a man? Have you ever looked at statues? I've told you this before. If you look at pictures, sculptures of, let's say, warriors from China, the samurai, look at the, I don't mean the really heavy set guys, the sumos. The samurai all had paunches on them. Didn't stop them from cutting your head off. As a matter of fact, there's a survival value to weight, which is that a glancing blow of a sword, it's like hair on a dog. What do you think a dog has a lot of hair for? So the other dog bites the hair instead of the flesh. It's the same with fat. So you take a glancing blow, it hits the fat instead of your muscle or an artery. It's an insulation. I studied this in great detail once. You look at, I'll give you a little anthropology now, since you got nothing to do when you're in a car or whatever, or you're a bug and you're not doing what a normal person does, which is watching television or doing homework with your children, because they're doing drugs in the back room and your wife and you don't talk, so you might as well listen to me. I studied this as an anthropologist for years. Why, for example, are the Hawaiian men and the Samoan men so brawny, so big? Now, there are some who are thin. I understand. I will deal with them in a second. But most of the men, if you look at Samoans, look at some of the great football players, if you don't know much about it, they are brawny men with phenomenal musculature with a lot of fat on them. And it's the same with the authentic Hawaiian. There was survival value in those peoples that was related to long sea voyages. In other words, if you were out in the ocean for 20 days at a time in an open boat, who do you think survived and who died? The skinny guy who was complaining, I need a bagel and lox, get me home, he was dead within 48 hours. The guy who had a lot of size and weight and fat on him, he didn't complain, he kept rowing. He rowed and he rowed and he rowed 25 days, so he lived to reproduce, so that's a survival value. And the little guy who wanted the bagel and lox, they fed the shark with him. You know, play the shark bites by the sea deer, and even the sure pearly bite. That would have been good if I could control every song. You can't dig that up in a second, I understand. You know, next time we come back. Barney Frank, for example, could he have survived a long sea voyage? He would have demanded that you row for him.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation on a light note. They can take Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and shove it. I'm sick of it already. How is it that we're so naive that we don't understand that we have a socialist slash communist wing of the Democrat Party running the country? What's so hard to figure out? Why is that such an outrageous statement and such an outrageous concept to comprehend? In Germany, they had far left wings. In France and Italy, they've had them. Suddenly, we have a far-left wing of the Democrat Party seizing power through manipulation and through financing by God knows who, and people are shocked if someone uses the word socialist or communist. That's what we have running the country right now. Only the people in this country are so naive politically that they don't dare use the phrase. You think a communist has to walk around with a beret and a red feather in his cap. He has to look like Chavez, like the buffoon. Don't be stupid. Communism has arrived in America. The trick now is to make sure they don't take too many gains because they're not going to last too long now that the people know what this fraud is doing. That's all. Now, if this man ever told you what he has done in the first 60, 70 days of what he would do, the guy would have had 4% of the votes. Now he's gonna have a, now he's announcing he's gonna have a St. Paddy's Day party at the White House. Wow. That's great. So they can do what? Celebrate Kennedy again? That's what it's all about. Kennedy, 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 Schmennity. We're gonna have the St. Paddy's Day party here with the Savage Nation. Not tomorrow night, but on Wednesday night. Why Wednesday night? Because I'm a contrarian, number one, and number two, I'm traveling tomorrow. So I'm going to take your calls now on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Mark, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Glad to be actually on your show for once. You
okay.
mentioned a little bit earlier ago a couple great points about some wine. I'm a sommelier here in Chicago and I've fallen in love with wine a long time ago. My first point I want to talk about, you mentioned Chardonnays and kind of the bastardization of the Chardonnay grape.
Yes.
From California. I can't agree more with all the people that want this rich, buttery flavor.
Oh, yeah, horrible. That buttery flavor makes me nauseous.
Over-oaked, horrible.
Over-oaked Migraineville and buttery Pukeville.
Absolutely. Go back to a great Chablis.
Yeah, thank you. I agree. I frankly, when I first started knowing wines 30 years ago, luckily I had a friend who, well, he grew up in Brooklyn, but he was a professor with a PhD in microbiology, was world-traveled, and he taught me what a true Grand Cru Chablis was. It was astounding. It was a taste that was flinty and on, but not too bitter, correct?
Absolutely. You taste the minerals in the soil. You really get to impart a lot of different flavors, not just oak and butter and cinnamon flavors.
Horrible. Now that you're an expert, I want to ask you something. When I started drinking Mufume Blanc, Sauvignon Blancs out of California 20 years ago, they were all wonderful. They have now also moved over to the Chardonnay side, haven't they?
They started using American oak for everything in California.
It's okay, it's the oak number one and number two. They're mixing Cabernet Franc grapes in there, aren't they?
Quite possibly a lot of the...
I've watched them change the blends. The Cabernet Franc grape destroyed some of the best Sauvignon Blancs. But, you know, someone asked me earlier to recommend my wines. Then I'm going to ask you, what do you think of my recommendation with regard to Italian, the Gaia San Lorenzo?
Well, Angela Gaia is probably the predominant producer in all of Italy. He's a great Piedmont producer. He does have some vineyards in Tuscany now. You mentioned one of his best wines, the San Lorenzo, after his St. Lorenzo.
So let me ask, when you serve that in your restaurants, what are these people paying a bottle?
It depends on the year, in all honesty. You want something aged like a San Lorenzo, you're looking at about $1,000 in a restaurant.
Wow, and I'm talking about an unaged, like a 2003, 2001, whatever.
Yeah, some good stuff. 2005, actually this coming year, which will be released 2005.
Okay, I tell you another one I happen to love in the cold weather. The Pomerol Chateau Lafleur in 1999. Murderously expensive. I was exposed to it in a friend's house. It's a beautiful wine. That's something that's very rare, isn't it?
It is. Highly rare. Keeping on the Italians, if you ever get a chance, Angelo Gaia has a wine called Sori Tilden.
Yeah, I heard it's even more expensive, the Sori Tilden, right. Now, wait a minute. Someone asked me before about California wines, and I don't want to leave that in saying they're all bad. The Klein Cellars is a reasonably priced everyday wine. I'd recommend that for every day. On the high end, there's Phelps Insignia, which is really amazing. Have you tried that one?
I've had Insignia quite a lot. Good chocolatey overtones, a lot of structure. Actually, the Schaefer Hillside Select is also delicious from California on the high end as well.
You know, I used to drink cake bread Sauvignon Blanc exclusively till about 10 years ago. And then I couldn't. They started changing the formula to make it more like a Chardonnay, and I stopped drinking it.
Yeah,
I switched over to very cheap New Zealand wine because I'm crazy about the what's that region? My mind is escaping me right now. The I can't remember now, but it's amazing. It has a high limey taste, lemony taste.
McLarenvale.
No, there's a region of New Zealand where they grow the grape and they make it. It's very inexpensive. Some of them are $10 a bottle. I love that for a daily wine. They're almost on the fruity side, but I never get a hangover from them. Hey, explain this to me. I don't drink champagne because I get sick from it. Most of it's terrible garbage. There's one champagne that I can drink and I never get sick and I could drink a whole bottle of it. And that is because the grape is a wonderful grape, and that is the Dom Perignon. Can you explain why I can drink that?
I think it has to do with the Pinot Noir grape with it, more along the lines. It is a little bit sweeter than a lot of the...
Yeah, but I don't taste the sweet. It has to be chilled beyond a certain, below a certain level. I will admit, it has to be very cold for me to enjoy it. I ice my champagne, which most people don't do. and then I enjoy it. But I will not drink, for example, what's the one that all the drug dealers like? That they come in with the guys with the chains who don't know anything and they order it because it's expensive. What's the one they drink?
It's got a nice pink foil wrapper.
Yeah, I don't. What do they put it on their neck after they drink the wine?
You got me. I've seen it in restaurants.
Do they hang it from their nose? I mean, what's the good of that? You can't drink that stuff. They're all stoned. They don't know what they're drinking.
No, they would have no clue. You could fill it up with.
Well, hold on. This is an interesting show. What's the worst wine story you can tell me as a sommelier in Chicago, which has some great restaurants?
Oh,
give me the biggest poseur that ever came in your restaurant.
Well, we always have a guy that would come into one of the restaurants I won't name, but would always travel with his own wine storage and fancied himself a magnet of wine.
He traveled with a wine taster?
What's that?
He traveled with a wine taster?
No, he just traveled with wine, not a taster.
He brought his own wine in the restaurant?
Correct.
Oh, that was to save the money. What, he paid $10-$15 for corkage and then drink a $200 bottle? He wasn't doing it because he was a snob. He was a cheap son of a gun.
Well, I've got no problem. You want to be cheap? We didn't often have at this particular restaurant some of the wines that he would bring in. But he wouldn't know what the wine was. He bought the labels. He bought the Rothschilds, the Pomerol.
And what did they charge for corkage in those restaurants?
Like $20.
$20. He's drinking a $500 bottle and paying $20. You know what I'm saying? And he paid $200 for it. In your restaurant, he'd pay $700.
Oh, easily. But then they don't tip on it all.
They don't tip. Ah, right. In other words, if you're going to pay $500 for a wine, that's already $100 for the bottle and tip already.
Well, it all goes with how
does the sommelier thing work? I mean, I'm not that knowledgeable. If I go to a fancy restaurant, which I rarely do, and I a few times I did, don't you tip the sommelier separate from the waiter?
You often do, depending on the restaurant, how it's structured.
Well, my favorite restaurant stories go back to North Beach, San Francisco, when I first got there. There was a fake poet who pretended he was a left-wing communist, you know, a big Obama supporter, and his windows always have anti-American slogans. People don't know he owns a lot of property in Paris and in San Francisco. He's a revered piece of red garbage, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like this man. He's a fraud. This was a guy that when you'd go into a restaurant, Mr. Poet, Mr. Man of the People, with a group of five or six, when the check came, he'd throw the money down and leave and wouldn't leave a dime tip for the worker. You know the type?
I know the type all too well.
Yeah. His last name rhymes with spaghetti. I'll be right back. Thanks. Possible to do talk radio and not get a heart attack. I mean, I told you, I'll work in politics when appropriate. If you want to do politics, you can call on any topic, okay? You can call me and I'll answer. I'll be the answer man today. You want to talk about any of the topics that are on michaelsavage.com or any of the other sites, go ahead. But I've been doing different things today. Wine, dogs, shopping, women, locks, people, locks people, you know, St. Paddy's Day, parades. All of that stuff. Did I tell you about the T-shirt, the guy? I was at the biker bar, so there was a guy like at about a size 90. No, like a size 75 shoulders. Broad as can be with a huge T-shirt on it. So his T-shirt said, "It's better to have loved and lost, ... than to have been married to a psychotic bee for 35 years. I had to go up to the guy. I mean, you don't know what to do with a case like that. He could turn on you like a mad, you know, pit bull. Could be like Michael Vick's training dog. If you say one wrong word, like, "Sir, I just want to thank you," you could be dead before you finish the sentence. But I have a way with people. I'm in talk radio. I didn't tap him on the shoulder from behind or put a sharp object against his lower back, you know what I'm saying? "Sir, that's a nice T-shirt." I didn't approach him in that manner. You always go to the front of men like that. And you approach slowly as you would with... And you make sure, you know, with a dog, how you put your hand down. People don't even know. People come up to a dog. They don't even train their children how to approach a strange dog. They go up, "Can I pet him?" And they're already grabbing his ear. They get their hand ripped off. My dog won't bite. I stop them. They get mad. They figure they're going to call the cops for molestation if you touch the child without their permission. But I say, "Excuse me, son, wait a minute now. Don't touch the dog. Here's how you approach a dog. You do it quietly. You don't know if the mother's going to call security." Say, "You always take your hand and you put your hand down under the dog's mouth. You let him smell you to show that you don't." And the kid learns. The mother don't teach him anything. Grab the dog's ear. "Can I touch him? Is he friendly?" It's the same with a guy with a T-shirt that says it's better to have loved and lost than to have been married to a psychotic bee for 35 years. You don't approach him from behind. You don't approach him head on. You approach him the way you do. You go up nicely. And I comment on that. That shirt is amazing. Very funny. You don't know how he's going to go. He could think you're attacking his wife. He can kill you. What's your business what I thought about my wife? Bang, a beer bottle over the head. So sometimes it's better to laugh and walk away. I said it's a very funny T-shirt. Yeah, all right, gave me the nod, but that's okay. I didn't expect more. What, expect a blood brother from the High German? I mean, what do you think I was going to get out of it? From the Middle High German, he was going to say something to me? Like in the High German, that means something else? Middle High German or Middle Low German or Old High German or Old Low German or how many High Germans are there? Well, it depends on what city you're in and at what time. No, it's funny what you can do with language. How did the economy turn around over the weekend? I noticed we were broke last week and everything was bad. Then Obama the schmuck and his minions were told they're killing the economy, they're destroying the stock market, they're all professors. I love his chief economic advisor, this fat slob from Berkeley, who could not run a hot dog stand. They picked her because she wrote one communist paper after another on the economy. Finally, someone said, hey, schmuck, stop talking it down. You're killing the economy. Say something good. So right away, Barney Frank, not so bad. He's actually much better than him. Then Barbara Boxer, then the woman from Berkeley said things are better. Obama said things are looking up. Timothy Guyton put on a new look, new suit, lighter colors. They talked about St. Patty's Day, and they said everything's good. It's getting better. They're using the same lines McCain used. That got him. Chicago, Anthony, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Just for the record, I love your movie segments. But my topic is that is Bernie Madoff. And I have to say that I don't agree with what he did, but I feel bad to see this 70-year-old man spending the rest of his life in prison.
Come on. When they caught up with Mengele, the guy who was watching people in human experiments, what's the difference with their ages? The guy who robbed so many people. Come on, you're doing this to pull my leg.
No, I'm not, Dr. Savage. When I see that psycho liberal getting out after only 7 years.
Wait. Who getting out after 7 years?
That lady on your website that had the...
Marianne, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, here it is. I mean, she's...
Yeah, but come on. Look how many lives he ruined, Anthony. Be realistic. He robbed them blind. The money... He's got a business worth $700 million. The wife is saying it's her money. There's another $100 million there or whatever. That should go back in restitution. I don't want to pay it through taxpayer restitution, Anthony.
Well, that's fine, Dr. Savage. I just feel like the Ponzi scheme is nothing different than what banks are doing anyways. You're just allocating money.
Well, my point is a little different. If Obama hired Madoff and let him be the Treasury Secretary, we could have the good old times could be back again, at least for 4 years. He could probably do it for 8 years. Look at what Bush got away with for 8 straight years with Hank Paulson. What Madoff did is nothing compared to what Paulson did.
That's exactly my point.
I mean, Hank Paulson burned out $3 trillion before he left office. He doesn't know where the money went. He won't say. He's enjoying his estate in Michigan. What's the difference between Hank Paulson, George Bush, and Madoff?
There's no difference, and I feel like if there was equal justice...
The difference is that Madoff doesn't work for the government, so he's got to go away. In other words, if you're going to be that much of a gonif, you have to work for the government in order to be protected. But if you're going to do it in the private sector, I'm sorry, you got to go away after you get caught, Anthony.
I feel bad for him.
Why do you feel bad? Come on.
Because I look at him and I feel like 70 years old, man. His life's over with. He's done. And it should be investors beware.
How old do you think I am and I'm still suffering?
Well, I'm a fan of yours, so I know everything about you. So.
Well, how old am I? How old do you think I am?
Well, I believe you're going to be 66 coming up.
Correct. So I'm still suffering, and he shouldn't suffer? I'm suffering being on the radio every day.
Yeah, but you weren't one of those fools that invested into him.
No, I don't put a nickel in any. I trust nobody. I'm slightly distrustful of the world. Let's put it to you that way. I learned it from my father to trust nobody, and it was very good advice. At some points in your life, okay, you distrust the wrong people. I understand that. But in the overall scheme of things, you wind up better off if you trust nobody. What do you think I love a dog so much?
Well, Dr. Savage,
I'll tell you, that's not true. My family I can trust. I'm going to give a little advice here. You know how I raised my children and we never, ever fought over money? When they were young and we didn't have very, very much, do you know what Mrs. Savage did? She left her pocketbook open, and she said to the children, take whatever you need. They never took more than they needed. and they never asked for more than they were needing. And throughout our whole lives, we have never, ever fought over money in my family. We fought over everything else under the sun, when to put the lights on, when to put the lights off, where to go, where to eat, but we never fought over money. You can raise children to not get neurotic about money if you don't make it into a neurotic issue.
Well, Dr. Savage, if I might add another topic.
Well, Ed, stay in the line, Ed. You're burning up good time.
Savage.
My headline story is The Age of the Terrorist, that this is The Age of the Terrorist. After serving only 7 years in jail, Sarah Jane Olson, who was a radical Marxist terrorist, is being released in California. She tried to kill police with pipe bombs, and that doesn't faze America. We have an outright socialist/communist government. It's the wing of the Democrat Party that in Germany would be called the Democrat Socialist Party, and yet you act shocked if I say Obama and Biden and that wing of the party is Democrat Socialist. Don't be so shocked. It shows your naivete politically that you don't even understand what's going on around you. McCain, the moron, we try to tell him, say it like it is. We're screaming Obama's a socialist during the campaign, and he says, oh, no, he's a nice man. The women would get up at meetings, at town hall meetings, and try to tell him they're afraid of Obama, this, the birth, the that. Oh, no, him and a nice man. So, in other words, the Republicans were in on this. They gave us Obama. They burned out the economy over 8 years of greed and piggishness. The last 6 months, 4 months, they took $3 trillion out of the economy, the Republicans, committed a crime of magnitudes greater than what Madoff has done. And then they threw the hot potato into the Democrat Socialist hands in Obama. That's why they're acting all of a sudden, you know, so mum. We don't hear from Paulson. Bush is giving a lecture tour in Antarctica to the penguins because they're the only ones who think he speaks in a literate manner. No one knows where anybody else is from that administration. But the fact of the matter is, you're quite naive to say to me they're not a Democrat Socialist wing of the Democrat Party, because that's exactly what they are. And that's the difference between European political parties and ours. They have far greater sophistication with regard to the nuances of a party. Here they don't know anything. Dummies. Oh, Democrat, Republican. They don't understand. It's not A or B. There's spectrums of Democrat. America has never truly flirted with a socialist president. We have one now. By any estimation, Obama is a radical socialist. That was his background as a college professor. That was his background with Reverend Wright. That is what his policies have been thus far. And you don't understand that this is par for the course for Democrat socialist. It doesn't mean he's inherently evil. The man is acting out everything he has been taught from the time he was a wee lad in Hawaii, when he sat at the feet of the communists who raised him. And I don't mean his family. I mean the hardcore rich communists who I knew when I was in Hawaii. I know who he associated with. I know who his mentors were. They were all hardcore leftists who hated America. So the fact of the matter is, the man is not evil. He's just acting out exactly what they think is good for America. Anti-military, anti-police, fundamentally anti-family. Do I have to go down the list? So what am I going to do, get excited about it? So America is now experiencing a Democrat Socialist regime running America. And the only way they could ever get reelected is if the schmuck Republicans do not exploit the reality of what we are living through. And they won't. And that is because the Republican Party is fundamentally a Democrat Socialist Party, only it's a Republican Socialist Party. So we have a Democrat Socialist Party under Obama. And under Bush, we had a party that had become a Republican Socialist Party. I called Bush a fiscal socialist well over a year ago. I was on to what he was doing. Again, I was roundly criticized by the idiots who didn't even know what was going on. But I know what's going on. I'm very understanding of political structures. I've studied them for a long time. That's why I'd rather talk about wine, you know, dogs. Someone wants me to give him a mushroom sauce recipe, which I can't do because I don't make. Do I make a mushroom sauce? I haven't cooked. Let's go back to Anthony in Chicago. If I could see the lights just dimmed in here. It's like a Frankenstein studio. Anthony, go back. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to comment. I'm a screenwriter, so I'm up late at night, and I could not believe CNN has D.L. Hughley, a comedian trying to act like he knows what he's doing, You got the huckster at the same time on the Fox News network giving no opinion of his own. So I look on the Discovery Channel, and I see a show, Planet Earth, about polar bears. So I go on there, and then here I am, crammed with the global warming. It's like I can't escape it, not even on...
Well, I think the New York Times owns the Discovery Channel. If the last I checked, I think it's one of their subdivisions.
Well, I would believe it because they never show the animals actually kill the other animals, which kind of annoys me because if I see the lion hunt, I want to see the actual attack.
That's right. That's part of the picture. It's kind of brutal to watch it kill the antelope. I mean, but the fact is, without it, what, are you going to go to Safeway and buy a cut of beef?
Yeah, well, another thing that I would like to comment on is that, you know what? I can guarantee you that Archie Bunker listened to you on the loading docks, man, because I watched all
of it. Now you're getting to, and now you're moving into the insulting. I get it. It was a very smart segue.
No, I didn't mean to be insulting to you, Dr. Savage.
I have nothing against the Archie Bunkers of America. Unfortunately, they've been stereotyped as louts who know nothing. They know more about this country than do the elites. That's the truth about the Archie Bunkers, though, Anthony.
Well, when I watch All in the Family, a lot of the stuff he talks about applies in now, and he wasn't that ignorant.
That is correct. I understand. Now I got a double migraine. I thought I was having a nice conversation. He started out with Italian wine and mushroom sauce. The next thing I knew, I got a brickbat thrown at me. But all right. 1-800-449. Let's go to Wisconsin. Ron. Again, I have to put glasses on. The light's dimmed in my studio. I have like a Frankenstein effect here. Go ahead, Ron. What's on your mind?
I would like to thank you for what you do for us out here. You give us a voice that nobody seems to care what we say. And yet you entertain us and you make us laugh with a better time when we grew up.
That's right. When the country was sane, as opposed to an insane nation.
Very few years apart because we listened to the same music growing up and loved fast cars and loud cars. And,
I still love fast cars and fast women.
And I tell you.
I don't like loud women and loud cars. I like there's a difference between a fast car and a loud car. You know that.
You know, it's just...
If you want a loud car, what you do is go to a deli in South Florida and order lox. You'll find a loud woman, but you won't find a fast woman. There's no fast women in a deli ordering lox. There's only loud women.
You know, you give us an education.
I'm sorry. I'm just playing with words. Thanks for the call. I got a triple my... I can't wait till the show's over. I don't know what to take, a double Alka-Seltzer, a painkiller, or a glass of wine. I think I'll have a double vodka. 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. Some say Houston, but that's there because from the Lower East Side of New York, they call it Houston Street. If you ever said Houston Street when you were in New York years ago, if you said, I'm trying to be sophisticated, it's called Houston Street. Why? Because all the immigrants didn't know how to say Houston. They called it Houston Street. They didn't know it was Houston Street. Gloria from Houston or Houston, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to tell you what I did with a full fish that I had no clue what it was, turned out to be a smoked salmon, being from the South, had no clue what to do with it, so I made salmon salad. It was horrible.
Well, you mean somebody brought you a smoked salmon?
Yeah, someone sent us one, a customer of ours, in appreciation.
Oh, but you got to understand, lox comes from the Middle High German, L-A-H-S, loss, which means salmon in the Middle High German.
Learned that.
But conventionally, lox means smoked salmon in delis today.
But it just looked like a fish to me.
Yeah, it is a fish. And if it's done wrong, it's horrendous fish. It's terrible. If it's done right, it's a fabulous delicacy like anything else.
Well, I didn't know what to do with it.
But you're from Houston, so you know. So to you, you never saw a thing like this that arrived in the mail.
Smelled horrible.
It does, if it's done wrong. What do you eat normally? You eat white bread and mayonnaise?
Actually, yes. Sometimes I put pineapple on it. So
now you're pulling my leg, aren't you?
No. Pineapple sandwich?
Come on. You don't eat a pineapple sandwich. You kidding me?
Bread, mayonnaise, and pineapple.
No, come on.
Tomatoes,
mayonnaise and pineapple. Mayonnaise and pineapple, what a mixture that is.
It's good.
I'd have to get my stomach pumped if I ever ate that. Gloria, I'm not coming to your house for dinner. Oh, my goodness. And see, no one wants to do politics now. They already turned the show off. I have incendiary topics on my website. Illegal alien leeches complain about health care cuts. That I could do 3 hours on. California due to release convicted domestic terrorists. You don't care about that. HIV/AIDS rate in D.C. higher than in West Africa. You don't care about illegal aliens coming in with HIV. That doesn't bother you. Obama back to fundraising in his first 90 days, 80 days. Kim decides his country should have pizzeria now. That's what kind of story that is, I don't know. Pastor attacked after arguing with Muslims on TV show. That's out of the ex-England. Leftist ex-CNN reporter wins El Salvador presidency. What's the big news about that? Small investors pooled money to invest in Bernie's fraternity. Frank Assales bonuses paid to executives at AIG. You know what I think of Bonnie Frank, don't you? Key Obama economic advisor says the fundamentals of economy are sound. I love that. Don't you just love that? Here's a woman who taught at Berkeley, Communism 101. So that's why he picked her. The woman knows nothing. I can guarantee you, if you picked this key Obama economic advisor and you said, look, here's a deli, you'll start by wrapping locks, and if you can show you can do that right, we'll let you manage a deli counter. This woman couldn't manage a deli counter, but she knows nothing. But she was full professor at Berkeley in economics. That's why she was hired by Berkeley. In other words, who else would Bonnie Frank want to be around but another schmuck who doesn't know anything about money? What do you mean fundamentals? Oh, we have a clip of her? Let's listen to her.
It is an economic war. We have inherited a crisis like none since we had the Great Depression. So absolutely, it is something we need to deal with. I think we are. We haven't won yet. We have staged a wonderful battle. So we have put in place just a host of programs.
Now, I'm asking you, if you run a business, would you hire this woman, Dr. Christina Romer, to manage your business? I wouldn't hire in the paperclip department. I can tell you by her voice she doesn't know anything about business. It's a cheerful, programmed, happy voice that they taught her over the weekend, university happy talk, because Obama said we've got to be upbeat now because we were too downbeat and it killed the stock market. So do upbeat. Let's get some teachers on how to be upbeat, the woman, Dr. Christina Romer. I wouldn't hire her to run a business, I can guarantee you. Now it's upbeat. And she's blaming? Nixon did it to her. Nixon destroyed the economy. The president, they keep referring, the president this, the president that. This is a guy who never ran any business at all. The man shot paper clips with posters onto telephone poles to become an organizer. Amateur hour. First it was a crisis for months, and now all of a sudden it got better. According to Dr. Christina Romer from the University of California at Berkeley. Ask her if she's ever created a business. Ask this woman if she's ever met a payroll. The woman was a tenured professor at Berkeley, A, because she was a type who pushed people around with a big mouth, B, she probably sued her way into the position, and C, she never ran a business. Unbelievable to me. I don't believe this. This is Kool-Aid. So the all-knowing Obama, the Messiah, first says the economy is destroyed. Then he tells his followers to take the Kool-Aid, and it's excellent. And now it's excellent. And now who are they blaming? Bush and Nixon, or Bush and McCain. It's astounding that you can believe any of this. This is amazing. Of course, before them was the Republicans who kept telling us the economy was strong because they were like Madoff. And they were betting that the housing bubble would hold until they got the old man in. But the bubble burst before they can get the old man over the finish line. That's if they even wanted him to win at all. So where are all the liberals who were screaming that McCain was out of touch when he was saying the economy was fundamentally good? First it was bad. Now it is good. Now he's having an Irish party tomorrow night in the White House. What's that holiday called? St. Patrick's Day. I forgot that too. St. Patrick's Day they're having. And when things get really bad, there'll be a war. This I can guarantee you. He'll do what all presidents do when things go bad. There'll be a really bad war. You know, some missiles will fly into, if not Libya, then Western Pakistan and hit sandcastles. How could you think Dr. Roman knows what she's talking about? One after the other, these are people that, if you really run a business, you know, these people, by their tone and their talk, never met a payroll. They don't even understand what it is to pay a payroll tax. I'll be right back. Savage. It is the Savage Nation. Look, I didn't do a lot of politics today. I worked it in the way I want. I talked about locks and wine and this and that. But my main point, if you want to say I made a political point today, is that we have a clear Democrat-Socialist regime running America. Germans would understand this. French would understand this. The Italians would understand it. the English would understand it. But Americans are political fools. They don't understand anything about politics. To them, it's a team A, team B. And so they don't understand Obama's not a normal Democrat, even. By any standard, he's not a Democrat by any definition. He's a clear socialist. Why Americans don't understand it? Political naivete and the media. I blame the media. Palm Beach, KK, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I can't believe this. The kid earlier saying how he feels sorry for Madoff. I mean, good Lord, that's just the most
ridiculous. I know. The man is a criminal who's ruined thousands of lives. He should rot in jail.
Right. He's no dealer than he's no different than a criminal on the street. I mean,
that's right. I have no sympathy for him. May he rot in prison and his wife when she's found guilty. And frankly, I'd go further. I would have started with the grandchildren. I have no sympathy for children who take stolen money.
Absolutely. I hope they all love sleeping on their cold steel beds.
Well, they're not going to sleep. You know what I mean? I would have started with the. When this started with Madoff, I said I would have grilled the children first, the grandchildren. Don't tell me they didn't receive any of grandpa's money.
And
how did they go to college? And whose money did they go? How did they get through college? Who paid for it? The people who were built paid for the college education.
Absolutely. And you had an investor on a few days ago that said that the reason the government kind of is just kind of so quickly settled on this, I believe, too, that they know a lot more. And if they really started to investigate.
Of course. That's why there's no trial. That's why they accepted a plea. In a trial, discovery on the part of the investors would have produced clear collusion between the SEC, if not other branches of government, and Madoff. There's no way he got away with this for so long without the government looking the other way. Again, Italians would understand this from Italy. The French would understand this from France. The Germans would understand this from Germany. But again, the Americans are so naive, they don't understand this. Thank you for the call. All right, that's all. That's why I'm talking about it. By the way, all you Obama worshippers, where are the 3 million jobs he promised? Where are the jobs? I've seen 25 jobs were saved so far. Where are the 3 million jobs that they told us you about? None. Zero. Again, but you'll keep supporting him the same way the Republican, the Bush bots did Bush. The same thing you're going to have with the Obama bots. Like robots. They're robots. They don't see what's going on around them. Washington, D.C. Sharon, welcome to the program. You're on the Great Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I would like to say I'm shocked for finding myself in disagreement with you. And that's when it comes to the economy. It seems like it really didn't start making a turn for the worse when Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in Congress took over in 2006.
Pelosi is in love with the Obama way because it produces a lot of sporting goods stores that can be taken over by the government, if you know what I'm saying, if you watch The Sopranos. You have to watch The Sopranos to understand the metaphor. And I'm not going to repeat it over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Jack, San Francisco, my hometown, ding, ding, Rice-A-Roni. Jack, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind from KNEW?
We're both boat guys. I got a little story for you.
Yeah, but it's the end of the show. Make it 30 seconds or less, the end of this hour.
Put it this way. A dot-commer guy bought a nice wooden sailboat made by Stevens over in Stockton, 38-foot yacht, Farallon Clipper. He gave it to me for $1, and he bought it for $30,000.
Why did he give it to you for $1? He couldn't afford it?
He didn't want to pay the berth rent, and he just didn't want to keep up with the class.
Oh, what a beautiful vessel that is.
Oh, yeah.
And when I get back to San Francisco, I have a 21-foot small motorboat, and then I have a GB 42 Europa, which I really love because there's very few electronic controls on it. It's unbelievable. My controls are by cable. I don't have to turn computers on to run the boat. That's why I love it. But one of the boats I really want to get is a wooden sailboat next. I'm going to look for an old Frisco Flyer. Remember those old Choi Lee Frisco Flyers?
Oh, my neighbor has one right over here at Berkeley Marina.
They're 27 feet. They're really... Remember the movie by Roman Polanski, Knife in the Water? You go back that far. You got to see that movie to see the beauty of a simple skiff, a simple sailboat. Thanks for the call. I once had a wooden sailboat. I never talk about it. People don't know it. The name of it was the Tarangi. It was 22 feet long. I had it in Hawaii. No motor. You want to talk about terror. How about sailing a boat out of the Alawai Yacht Harbor without an engine and not knowing how to sail, thinking you know everything? You want to know what hubris is? I was the captain of that vessel the way Obama is the captain of America today. He thinks he's sailing, but he doesn't understand that without a wind blowing behind him, he's not going anywhere. And let me tell you something. If you know anything about the wind, it shifts on you when you least expect it. And that's what's coming for this administration. They're sailing along real good right now because they got a wind to their posterior created by the last administration. But very soon that wind is going to die, and they're going to be in the doldrums. And then they're going to get back to you on what to do next. There'll be a nice hot war.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Headlines today for the Savage Nation. California due to release convicted domestic terrorist. Hallelujah. Illegal alien leeches are complaining about the health care cuts. You don't have health care unlimited, do you? Does your grandfather have unlimited health care? Well, guess what? The leeches from the third world do. And boy, are they mad. Because guess what? They're not going to get their health care. They want it for themselves and their children. Oh, my. Long Island cops and $55 million gold rush, and you thought crime did not pay, huh? Buyers sue Trump over failed Mexico condo project. Ha! And you pay to go see him tell you how to make a living. Not a bad deal if you can get away with it. And here's another one for you. HIV rate in D.C. hits 3% higher than West Africa. Ha! How do you like that? So the third world has not only come to America, we've actually beaten the third world when it comes to certain diseases. Outrage over AIG. The government media complex seems to be in a coordinated state of outrage over the $100 million in bonus payments made to AIG employees. But where were the same officials and commentators when it came to giving the money away to AIG in the first place? I guess they've been listening to conservative talk radio. Will there be a populist uprising against the socialization of the U.S. economy? I doubt it. Illegal alien leeches complain about health care cuts. Apparently, some Americans have awakened to the fact that our country still has borders. For example, in Sacramento, the capital of neo-Marxist California, the county has cut off all non-emergency health services for illegal aliens. I said non-emergency. In other words, if there's an emergency, the illegals still get treated. Other counties near San Francisco are about to do the same thing. Because of the economy and state budget cutbacks, county officials had to decide whether to fire 40 employees or eliminate services to the 4,000 illegal aliens it treats annually, although it's much higher than that. They say 4,000 is probably closer to 400,000. But even now, the left wing is making cutbacks to the illegals only grudgingly. For example, Keith Andrews, the head of healthcare services for Sacramento County, California, said that the decision to end gold-plated healthcare for illegals was very difficult ethically for me. People I've been caring for years will be hurt. Notice he says people he's been caring for. You see, it's him personally doing good. Well, the AP article he was quoted in didn't say whether he was concerned about the actual working citizens of California who have been hurt by having their taxes go to pay for this top-level health care for those in the country illegally. It didn't quote Keith Andrews about whether it was difficult ethically for him to deprive working American citizens of their health care so he could give it to illegals and feel good about it. Naturally, illegal aliens and their allies are up in arms. An attorney with the ACLU of Northern California said that, quote, asking county workers to act as immigration officials puts them in a difficult position. She didn't say whether or not putting a doctor or nurse out of work puts them in a difficult position. I guess it's okay as long as it helps another illegal alien get away with, well, next to murder. You see, it's murder to take away health care from people who pay for it and give it to those who don't. That denies people who need health care health care, doesn't it? It seems that one good thing about the crumbling economy is that it has awakened some people to the fact that the illegal immigrants can no longer be tolerated within the body politic if the body politic is to survive. All right, play Blue Monday.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh Tuesday.
I'm okay, so tired, moving on.
No time to play.
The craziness of the Hollywood mentality never seems to stop. One story after another shows just how Hollywood tries to bring down our country from the inside out. Joining us now with this report on the latest Hollywood shenanigans is James Herson.
Thanks, Michael. Why can't the media just lay off of religious groups? I mean, the latest to be persecuted are the Mormons. Now, HBO wants to show a Mormon ceremony that's deemed sacred by the church, you know, Latter-day Saint Church, and they want to do it on their despicable show, Big Love. Look, the church doesn't want their sacred right to be on cable. And in a strange kind of magnanimous act, HBO apologizes to the LDS church members who might be offended by its airing of the ceremony. But hey, HBO is going to show it anyway.
This is unbelievable to me.
I mean, their statement is ridiculous. They say, obviously it was not our intention to do anything disrespectful to the church. But remember, Tom Hanks is an executive producer of the show. He got in trouble recently for calling Mormon backers of Prop 8 un-American. You know, he was forced to reverse that. Could Prop 8 motivate this particular plot line? Well, a guy who's going to be called un-American is actor Chuck Norris, because he now says he may run for president of Texas. No, that you heard right. President of Texas. If the state will take a stand against what he calls wayward federal government, and if Texans decide to rebel over what he says is the State of the Union turning into the enemy of the state. Norris says there are thousands of cell groups ready to help with this separation, and he happens to be a native Oklahoman, so he would need to move to the Lone Star State before he would launch Civil War 2.0. But this idea of states separating sounds pretty good. I mean, how about California? It's like, what, seventh or eighth largest country in the world. Hey, how does President Savage sound?
Oh, don't get me started.
By the way, there's a secret in Hollywood that most in the public haven't heard about. But executives, agents, lawyers, and voyeurs in town all know about it. The R-rated, violent, and sexually exploitive movies are not the ones that make most of the money. Last year, G, PG, and PG-13 films brought in more than $8 billion to the entertainment industry. R-rated films brought in about $1.9 billion. So non-R movies beat R-rated movies about 4-1 when it comes to the bottom line. The top 10 most successful films last year were all PG and PG-13 films. There were no R's. About half of the money was brought in by those animated blockbusters like Horton Hears a Who and Madagascar and Kung Fu Panda and WALL-E and all those. And the other half came in the from films like Iron Man and Dark Knight, which take place in a moral universe, have conservative themes. Conservative themes do play a role in careers. And despite the efforts of enablers like rappers like P. Diddy, singer Chris Brown's career is starting to crater. It's been a month since he allegedly beat his supposed romantic interest Rihanna to the point where she lost consciousness. The PR machine that he hired generated stories that the couple reconciled, that they recorded a duet, that he bought her a ring. But the growing animosity towards Brown is starting to really fester. Radio stations are dropping his music, and in a move that should have been made immediately after the incident, this has been a month, Brown finally removed his name from the ballot of an awards ceremony that's coming up. It's the Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards. Can you believe this, Michael?
I'm sick of this.
I mean, this guy was nominated for Favorite Male Singer and Favorite Song. And it's true, he was nominated before his arrest. Rihanna's nominated too, by the way. But here's a guy, Chris Brown's been charged with felony assault. And that certainly does not fit with a kid's show of any kind. Did we forget Pee-wee Herman? You know, this guy's career was climbing. He had multi-platinum records, film roles. Billboard named him the Artist of the Year for 2008. But two things have really brought him down. One was that leaked photo showing the battered face of Rihanna and the affidavit that allegedly had these details of the attack. And all of a sudden, public opinion is turning against him. It sounds conservative. I mean, right after the guy was arrested, he had this hit song, Forever. It went from number 14 to number 58. Now, it's off the charts. There's a record company called Jive Records that has one of these, an artist called T-Pain. Well, T-Pain recorded a duet with Brown. The title is Freeze. Now they're offering a version to radio stations without Brown. He's been digitally erased. I guess it remains to be seen whether the severe damage done to his career will be permanent, but the fact that there is damage shows, hey, there's virtue and morality left in the United States of America. Well, that's it for the Hollywood shenanigans.
It's amazing to me that we allow these insane people to pollute our movie theaters with this junk. Thanks, Mr. Herson. James, what passes on Hollywood for logic makes sense only to Democrats. It's the Savage Nation, be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Well, here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. The California state officials are about to release a convicted domestic terrorist. That's right. That's right. Sarah Jane Olson. Oh, what the heck. She only tried to kill some cops with pipe bombs in her youth. Of course, like Bill Ayers, I'm sure she wished she had done so. Illegal alien leeches are complaining about health care cuts. Now, you've got to understand something. The hospitals are going broke across California, New Mexico, Arizona. They have nothing to do but close their doors. Well, they're not closing their doors exactly. Illegal aliens can still get emergency health services, but they can't get non-emergency, in other words, primary care. You know, like a running nose, a little sore throat for the child, where all of them come in and sit in the emergency room and they have to bring in a translator. But they could still get emergency health services. Of course, they'll call every non-emergency an emergency with a little help from their friends in the ACLU. Muslim TV channel founder pleads not guilty in wife's beheading. Wow. I guess he doesn't know where the head came from. Muzamil Hassan founded the Muslim American TV channel in 2004, saying he hoped to balance negative portrayals of Muslims. Now he's been arrested for cutting his wife's head off, but I guess he could say aliens did it. He certainly will say he didn't do it. Perhaps he could say the Jews did it. Obama back to fundraising amid donor fatigue. That's right, fundraiser. First 100 days, fundraiser. AIG ships billions in bailout abroad. Did you hear that one? Billions of American taxpayer dollars used to bail out insurance giant AIG are flowing to some of the largest foreign banks in the world. How is this going on? I have no idea. I'm not in the government. I'm only in radio. Long Island cops in $55 million gold rush. Did you hear about that? More than 200 Nassau County cops are galloping to retire by midsummer to collect bloated severance packages of up to $500,000 plus about $100,000 to $125,000 a year in normal retirement. That's tax-free, of course. You won't believe the story, but hey, then again, who said crime doesn't pay? Speaking of crime, buyers are suing Trump over a failed Mexico condo project. But wait a minute. He's still available to visit your community and charge you a certain amount of money to tell you how to make money. And by the way, a guy who can get this amount of money and not build a hotel and not have to pay it back, he actually is the right guy to teach you how to make money in the age of Obama. I got to tell you, the other day I was walking around and I stopped it was Saturday. I didn't tell you about it. There was a St. Paddy's Day parade down where I am. And it was nice to see in the middle of the heat. You could die. I don't understand the relationship. But anyway, a lot of drunk people. I don't drink during the day. I think three times in my life I drank during the day. Once was at a funeral or a wake. But I don't generally drink during the day. It's amazing. There was a lot of people drinking during the day. I don't know what it has to do with chasing away the snakes, but they chased away the snakes. And I was wandering around in the crowd, and there was a woman like reading cards, $5 for 5 minutes. Not cards. She was reading from like a book with the sun rising and the quarter of the shmata that comes underneath your back pocket with the lint. And she was amazing. I don't know how she did it, but this one turned out an MSW in social work. You know, she went to an actual university and couldn't maintain her career as a psychologist, so she reverted. But she had, you know, there's certain fortune tellers who have eyes. You could tell right off the bat. They're either schizophrenic or they can read the future or both. But I have found there are people who actually can do this. The thing she said about me and relationships, I was amazed by it. Now, I know many of you aren't because the Bible says don't believe in diviners. You're supposed to stone them to death. But since half the other people were stoned anyway on God knows what they were, weed and beer and this and that, why stone her to death when the whole crowd was stoned? I don't understand it. Play Blue Monday. We'll start again. I'm off on the road.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work. Langers leave all deep. He'll come to
I love the outrage from Barney Frank. Barney Frank. You see that? We're rewarding incompetence. He's a schmuck. He's a schmuck, Barney Frank. He's a schmuck, Barney Frank. Who himself is incompetent. He's a Barney Frank who himself busted out the country when he was forcing banks to give loans to schmucks who never should have gotten a loan. He's a schmuck who couldn't get a job at McDonald's if he wasn't in the government. He's talking about not giving bonuses to AIG. Of course everyone's against giving out bonuses to these criminals who should be in orange jumpsuits cleaning toilets in Guantanamo for the terrorists after a Ramadan meal. Are you kidding me? We all agree with that, Barney. Now he's suddenly grandstanding. After forcing banks for years at the threat of government suits to give loans to incompetent, illogical, illegal aliens and other undesirables who couldn't qualify for a mortgage, now all of a sudden he's worried about, I'm going to bust the gut if I care. Speaking of that, on michaelsavage.com, there's some headlines you got to see. I'll go to regular programming. I see already I'm talking to a dud audience. I can tell already the lights didn't go on. Because they're not used to it. What you want to hear is Obama's a socialist. The country's about to come to an end. Even though that's true, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm sick of it. So instead, I'm going to give you the stories that have nothing to do with Obama. And then you could decide who to blame. Eventually, you'll have to blame yourself because the stories I'm about to read are true. The names have not been changed to protect the guilty. Number one, HIV/AIDS rate in D.C. is higher than West Africa. Boom. Isn't it wonderful that we have now become lower than a third world nation with regard to certain illnesses? I got stories that are so horrible that it could give you, if you're Italian, you'd call it agita you're about to get. If you're Jewish, you'd call it suris. If you're a wasp, you don't even understand what I'm saying to you because it's nothing in the language you understand because it's nothing in the regular English language. If you are an illegal alien, you don't know what I'm talking about because you're illiterate in all languages. The only thing you know is me. Me illegal, you me immigrant, I sue ACLU. Story number one, HIV/AIDS rate in D.C. higher than West Africa. You hear? Illegal alien leeches complain about health care cuts. You hear this story? Now, here's a topper. If you think I'm just on one side of the aisle, you're wrong. Long Island cops in $55 million gold rush. When I saw this at 5 in the morning today in the New York Post, I got mad. Like a stampeding herd, more than 200 Nassau County cops are galloping to retire by midsummer to collect bloated severance packages of up to $500,000. You hear this? You read this story, you could die from it.
Savage.
It appears the age of Obama is opening up the door to some old terrorists. After serving only 7 years in jail, Sarah Jane Olson, who was a radical Marxist terrorist in the 1970s, is going to be released from prison. This in spite of the protests of the police in Los Angeles that Olson tried to murder. This in spite of the protests of the police in Minnesota who tracked Olson down after being on the run for 25 years. Now all of a sudden the Obama leftists have decided to go soft on terrorism. But this should come as no surprise. The country is now run by a college professor who is friends with another Marxist terrorist, Bill Ayers. The radical mindset permeates the Obama administration, and whether it's 60s and 70s radicals or radical Islamofascists and the people that defend them, Barack Obama seems to have a soft spot for them. Just in the last week, Tony West, who was the lawyer for the American Taliban, John Walker Lynn, was appointed to a top position in the Justice Department. Ha! And let's not forget that Obama is in the process of releasing hundreds of terrorists as a result, closing the prison at Guantanamo Bay. The problem is that Barack Obama is part of that generation that was raised by radicals. Obama's own mother was a radical. He was part of a generation that was educated in elite liberal schools to revere anti-Americanism. Schools across the country in the 60s and 70s taught an entire generation of so-called leaders to believe in permanent revolution. Obama is merely implementing the lessons he learned in the Yale and Punahou environment. The testing of our two-green president continues unabated. It has been reported that in Lebanon, large amounts of money is being thrown about to buy the local elections. Now, what groups would do such a thing? Two groups that Obama has said we need to have open communications with, Iran and Hezbollah. Joining us now for a report on this story is Ken Timmerman.
I've got to tell you, Michael, the situation in Lebanon is extraordinarily tense. I just got back from a week in Beirut, in the Beirut area, and I tell you, you know it's tense when the guy picking you up from the airport, first thing he asks you is if you need a gun. I've been covering Lebanon for over 20 years, and frankly, that hasn't happened to me in a number of years. You've got two things percolating beneath the surface here in Lebanon. You've got the Hariri Tribunal, which just opened in The Hague in Holland, and you've got the elections coming up in June. These are the local Lebanese parliamentary elections. And as I just reported on Monday, Hezbollah and their allies, Iran, in particular, have funneled are bringing in a huge amount of money, up to $1 billion in walk-around money, to buy the elections. Hezbollah is not only buying members of parliament, but they are buying entire areas of the country. In addition to that, and this is really contributing to the tension, Hezbollah has been pre-positioning weapons and fighters, actually, in parts of the Christian areas of Beirut. And what a lot of the people I spoke to in Lebanon are afraid of is that you will have another descent of Hezbollah into the streets, taking over Beirut, taking over the parliament, but also sweeping into the Christian areas, just as they did in May of last year. For those of our listeners who might not remember that, what happened then was that the U.S. Was actually working with the Lebanese government to help them to elect a new president, and those efforts were very serious and very far along. Hezbollah didn't want this to happen. The Iranians didn't want it to happen. The Syrians didn't want it to happen. And so Hezbollah basically took to the streets, over 100,000 people, surrounded the parliament, surrounded the prime minister's office, shut the entire city down, and they did this all in about 6 hours. So they have an extraordinary amount of power on the ground, and the fear today is that Hezbollah will be able to do this not just in Beirut, but also into those Christian areas up in the mountains above Beirut on the Damascus Road, and to the north in Junieh and the area called the Kesseron. This is the heartland of the Christian area, and if they cut them off from Beirut, frankly, many people are worried for the future of Lebanon.
Where is this money coming from?
Now, all of the money that they're bringing in is coming from a number of different sources. Everyone believes that Iran, essentially, is the source of this huge amount of cash. Again, people are talking as much as $1 billion in cash coming into Lebanon for Hezbollah to be able to buy these elections. They're bringing in the money in a number of different ways, and this is why we know something about it. They are using aircraft coming in from Africa, especially from Nigeria, where there is a very large Lebanese expatriate community. And they're bringing cash in on those aircraft into the airport at Beirut, which today is controlled by Hezbollah. When you go through the airport security, you are being screened by Hezbollah security officers. When aircraft come into the Beirut airport, they are being screened and controlled by Hezbollah security officers. This makes Beirut essentially one of the most insecure airports in the world. One of my contacts in Beirut, for example, told me a story recently that when the Hezbollah Boy Scouts, they're called the Mehdi Guards. Mehdi is the name of the 12th Imam, right? The one who's supposed to come back at the end of the world when everything is crashing down. You know, there's this worldwide destruction, massive war. Well, the Mehdi Guards, the Mehdi Scouts, brought in friends from Iran in special aircrafts that were chartered. They didn't have to go through customs. They didn't go through immigration at the Beirut airport. They were met on the tarmac by Hezbollah armed guards and swept away in armored cars, basically, into the southern suburbs of Beirut. And this was just a couple of months ago. Hezbollah completely controls the airport. They control the port in Lebanon as well, in Beirut.
Well, how else are they doing this?
Now, they're bringing in the money in aircraft. They're bringing the money in ships. They've got another gimmick, which is quite interesting, actually. They're sending goods from Iran, consumer goods from Iran by ship into the port of Beirut. And these are declared at zero value, so there's no import duties, there's no customs duty. And then the goods themselves are given to Hezbollah street vendors and shops, some people who are, you know, own small shops sympathetic to Hezbollah. And they use the proceeds from the sale of these consumer goods to fund Hezbollah activities. So you've got this huge amount of cash, you've got this enormous network of people who are being paid off by Hezbollah, and it's all really for one purpose, which is to buy the elections in June. The parliamentary elections is June. Now, if that weren't complicated enough, Michael, you've got the whole question of Michel Aoun. Michel Aoun is the former prime minister. He is a Christian, a Maronite Christian. And Aoun, who had been exiled for nearly 15 years from Lebanon because he had opposed Syrian occupation, he came back in 2005 after the assassination of Rafik Hariri, and he was excluded from the political process by people who should have been his allies in both the Christian camp and in the pro-democracy camp. So Aoun turns around, this man who had opposed occupation of his country by Syria, he turns around and he forms an alliance with Hezbollah. And just recently, in December, he was in Syria being treated like a head of state by Bashar Assad, the president of Syria. So General Aoun, who today controls a block of about 18 members of parliament, that's roughly 15% of the parliament, Aoun is now an ally of Hezbollah. He is poised to split the Christian camp in the upcoming elections. So this makes things even more complicated than they might have been before.
This certainly seems like a bad situation.
Now, Michael, just in case you thought that a bad situation couldn't be worse, there is the Hariri Tribunal. And this is the international tribunal to investigate the assassination of Rafik Hariri, who was killed in February of 2005 on St. Valentine's Day in a massive car bomb that killed 22 other people. Well, the Lebanese government and they've been aided by the international community with prosecutors and investigative judges. They have jailed four top generals in relation to the assassination of their prime minister. Get this. It's the equivalent of these four top generals. It's the equivalent of, in the United States, if we had arrested the head of the CIA, the head of the NSA, the head of the FBI, and the head of the Secret Service. Those are the people who are in jail in connection with the assassination of the prime minister of the country. It's an extraordinary event. These four generals are alleged to have been in contact with top officials in Syria, in neighboring Syria, and in particular, a man named Asaf Shaket, who's the brother-in-law of the president of Syria. That's how high this goes, the assassination of Rafik Hariri, and that's why the Syrians are very worried. They have been murdering anyone in Lebanon who has been speaking out against them. They have murdered over a dozen members of parliament over the past 3 years. This is really an extraordinary situation. It's an extraordinarily dangerous situation. As I've been reporting from Lebanon, everyone, whether they're Christian, whether they are Sunni, or even some of the Shias who are still independent, is terrified of the next couple of months, of the violence that's going to break out, of the assassination campaign, the murder campaign by the Syrians, the Iranians, and their allies. We're in for some rocky days up ahead, and the stakes for America are important. Lebanon is a country where Islam and Christianity have lived side by side for generations. That is increasingly challenged by the Muslim world, by Hezbollah in particular, but also by the Syrians. Christians are a fragile community in Lebanon. They're starting to fight back. They're starting to reorganize themselves through the Cedars Revolution and other groups. But we need to keep a very close watch, and we need to remember that the Maronite Christians in particular, the Christians in Lebanon, are in fact the best guarantor of freedom in that part of the world that we have today.
Thanks, Ken. This is something we will have to keep our eyes on. Hopefully Obama will as well. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Many supporters of the free market mentality would say that corporations need to be protected from lawsuits from the ordinary citizen. Yes, that's right. That suing a corporation for wrongdoing is somehow anti-capitalist or wrong for the country. Joining us now is Dr. Peter Bregan on why the freedom to sue these corporations is an important part of the free enterprise system.
Thanks, Michael. Today's subject is the role of product liability suits in a free society. Libertarians, conservatives, and other advocates of the free market often voice criticism of lawsuits against corporations. They feel that suing companies smacks of anti-capitalism. It's unfortunate that the left has become identified with the trial lawyers and the right with so-called tort reform, putting limits on the right to sue. In a free and democratic society, citizen lawsuits provide needed checks and balances against potential corporate fraud and deception. The free enterprise system can only work when citizens are free to sue mischievous corporations. Government watchdog agencies won't do the job. Look at the Bernie Madoff scandal. So many whistles were blown in the ears of SEC officials, the agency bureaucrats must have worn earplugs to work. For more than a decade, I tried to tell the FDA that the drug companies were hiding data, proving that antidepressants caused suicidal behavior. By the time the agency came to agree with me, thousands had been injured or died. When manufacturers hide or distort critical safety data, what other recourse does the victim have? Without lawsuits, what will restrain corporate power? I'm not talking about class action suits where small amounts of money are usually involved and each individual makes much less than the attorneys who walk off with millions. I'm talking about individual product liability suits where juries often award significant money damages to people whose lives have been badly harmed or destroyed by corporate negligence.
Well, didn't Bush try to interfere in favor of the drug companies?
Yes, under George Bush, the FDA went to court on behalf of the drug companies to claim that the FDA approval of drugs protects the manufacturers from being sued. In effect, when the FDA says the drug is safe enough to sell to people, how dare anyone question the feds? The watchdog became the self-appointed protector of the drug companies. This sleight of hand is called federal preemption. Product liability suits against the drug companies came to a halt, and both sides held their breath when the U.S. Supreme Court announced that it would take up the issue of preemption. Then on March 4th of this year, the court upheld a jury verdict in favor of Diana Levine, a woman who had lost her arm as a result of an injection of the anti-nausea drug Phenergan. She had been a violinist. The court ruled against the federal preemption and for the woman. This ended an unwarranted and dangerous expansion of the powers of the federal government. This is good news. The consumer's main defense against corporate negligence is through litigation, in this case, product liability suits against drug manufacturers. If we favor democracy and a free market, individuals must retain their rights to sue, and states must be allowed to fill the void by exercising their own watchdog functions on behalf of consumers. In this instance, through lawsuits brought in state courts.
What about frivolous lawsuits? I may disagree with you on this.
In reality, it's very difficult for a citizen to bring a suit against a huge company. Wealthy corporations respond by burying the injured party under an avalanche of paper and defensive legal actions. It becomes so expensive and time-consuming that lawyers won't bring suits unless there are enormous potential monetary damages from death or maiming, and unless the negligence is grossly obvious and repeated. Product liability suits also help to educate the health profession and the public. A week before the Supreme Court rendered its decision in the Phenergan case, I took a family member to an emergency room for a stomach problem. The doctor wanted to treat her for nausea by injecting a medication, and I intervened to say that she should not be given Phenergan. The doctor replied, "We don't give Phenergan intravenously or by shots in this hospital anymore." The Supreme Court case, even before it was decided, had already begun to influence the practice of medicine in a positive fashion. My family member is doing fine and didn't get a dangerous intravenous dose of Phenergan. Lawsuits also help by publicizing safety information that would otherwise remain hidden inside the companies and inside the FDA. For example, I was an expert in a case in which an otherwise nonviolent man drowned his two children and then himself in a tub of water, but he had taken only two doses of the antidepressant before this tragedy. When I looked inside the company records, I found that most of the severe emotional effects like agitation and violent behavior, in fact, occurred after only a few drug doses. Without lawsuits, there would be no longer any way to uncover this kind of vital information. Companies need to be held responsible for what they do. In a free and democratic society, individuals need the right to sue them for negligent behavior. This not only provides an opportunity for justice, it provides needed checks and balances in a free enterprise system. Beyond that, lawsuits remain the only way to force companies to reveal secret information about the hazards of their products. Product liability suits often end up protecting public safety and promoting public health. That brings us to what I call the primary principles, the refrain of my weekly report. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for all your gifts and opportunities. Become a source of love. You can find me and listen to all these reports at Breggin.com. That's Breggin.com.
Thanks, Dr. Breggin. The information these companies try to hide do need to be brought out. But on the other hand, unlimited lawsuits against companies is absolutely insane. So that's that. I am a food expert. Let's say everyone is a food expert for what they like. That is true. But I am actually a real expert. I detest fancy restaurants because the food is phony. I only eat in cheap restaurants because there the food is generally, it has to be better because the people don't have money. And they know the difference and they're going to walk out unless the food is good. But anyway, to make a long story short, I have lived in Northern California forever. Now, I'm not one of these bagel and lox guys. I don't eat cream cheese. But I do like smoked salmon. Now, you would think that in Northern California, where you have such snobs about food and salmon, they're all concerned about the salmon and it's not growing and you can't fish. I have Teddy with me, so I was walking around with it. Do you want to hear any of this? You want me to get back to AIG and this, Sanctuary, Cops, Acorn? I don't care about Acorn. Kerry, prosecute, I don't care. I think I'm not doing politics for a while. I'm on strike. I told you I think I'm on strike. Because you've heard it all. By the time of the day rolls around, you have heard everything you need to know about the world and more. And the only reason you're listening to me is because I've done it differently, better, stronger, angrier, more intelligent, more intellectual, a higher IQ. But there's only so much you want to hear about him being a socialist, a Marxist, a communist. Even though it's all true, there's no point anymore. It's done. It's a done deal. The Italians have had a communist party for 75 years. We're the only country that pretends communist? Me? No. Obama, socialist? No. What? Incredible. We don't have a socialist communist party. You got a socialist slash communist party running the country right now. You're acting shocked. You don't know what's going on. In Italy, they've had one for years. They have the far left parties in England, have them in France, they have them in Germany, but never heard of them here. Oh, they're Democrats. The Lox people don't know that they're communist socialists. If they knew they were communist socialists, they would jump off a bridge. Because they take away their condominiums from them and force them to put illegal aliens in their bathtub.
Savage.